Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master. Tokyo, 1972. Shivering in the cold. In Asakawa-zo, far from the city of Tokyo, the temple windows were paper, and the matted tatami floor was cold. As we chanted before Prabhupada during Mangalarti, our breath turned to vapor. Prabhupada sat on the red velvet vyasasan. He looked at me, wrapped in a blanket, dancing and shivering. His soft eyes met mine, and he hunched his shoulders in sympathy. Quote, "It is so cold, is it not?" My comment. I could understand that as I was inconvenienced by the cold, he was too. Of course, I cannot say that Prabhupada's experience was the same as mine. He was an exalted devotee and I was my body. But Prabhupada didn't like cold weather either. Prabhupada's dislike of the cold expanded my understanding of the mood a great devotee maintains while serving. He will tolerate cold or any other unpleasant circumstances in the service of Guru and Krishna. This sincere and dutiful serving mood is neither mechanical nor automatic. It is a product of devotion, and it gradually blossoms into love. Stealing a heart. During Prabhupada's transit through Hong Kong, I had heard that he was dissatisfied with ISKCON's leadership and had therefore temporarily disbanded the GBC. With boyish naivete and the desire to encourage him, I bought him a 24-carat gold ring and engraved it with the words, "Jai ISKCON." I presented this ring to Prabhupada in Hong Kong before we traveled together to Tokyo. Now, as I sat with Prabhupada in Tokyo during his massage, Sudama carefully rubbed mustard oil onto Prabhupada's chest, his back, his legs, and his hands. Sudama then noticed the Prabhupada's golden Jai ISKCON ring. Prabhupada, he asked, "You have a new ring?" "Yes." "Who gave it to you?" Sudama asked as he massaged the back of Prabhupada's neck. Prabhupada slowly lifted his head and stared at me. Only the three of us were in the room, and I felt softened by Prabhupada's glance. "Who gave you the ring, Prabhupada?" Sudama repeated. Prabhupada kept looking at me and said softly, "Oh, someone." My comment. Prabhupada could have told Sudama that I, Brijan, gave him the ring. Instead, he replied, "Oh, someone." When he said those two words, my heart melted and flowed to his lotus feet in the intimacy of our simple and loving secret. Prabhupada was so expert. A gift of a name. While massaging Prabhupada, Sudama mentioned that Prabhupada had named the Japan Yatra, New Gaya, after the town in Bihar, India, where Buddha gained enlightenment. Hearing this, I joked, "Prabhupada, if you don't give our Hong Kong Yatra a name, I will get envious." Prabhupada looked at me and laughed. "You can call it New Kikita. That is a province of Gaya." My comment. Prabhupada reciprocated and granted my request. I think I was less interested in a name for the Hong Kong Yatra than the gesture of asking Prabhupada for its name. The name New Kikita somehow remained overlooked for the Hong Kong Yatra. Moments lost and gained, a double loss. Prabhupada initiated a Japanese boy and gave him the name Tukaram. Tukaram was weak, spiritually weak, and he immediately wanted to leave the temple and go home after the initiation ceremony. Thinking that a Japanese devotee was rare, I decided to go with him. We traveled to Tokyo and distributed books together. We then shared noodles on the tatami mat in his small room in Shinjuku. I wanted to help him, so I spent the night there and returned to the temple by midday. Prabhupada noticed my absence during the morning Bhagavatam class. Where is Burijan? Preaching was the message I had requested Sudama to pass on to Prabhupada. My comment. Tukaram never returned. I felt like the Hindu who ate a sparse meal.